I have a brother and a sister-in-law, and they have four kids, ages 6 and under, and number 5 on the way. So to put it gently, I would say they have a very energetic household. You know, there's a lot of activity and a lot going on at any given moment in that household. And they have a lot of rules. You know, every time I go down there, there's more rules for the family. A few examples: the toys have to stay in the basement playroom. Food and drinks have to stay in the kitchen. They're not allowed to walk around the house with a popsicle. Bedtime's at 9 p.m., nap time at 1:30. No playing around the stairs. The door to the basement stairs has to remain closed at all times. They have to ask permission before leaving the house. They're never allowed to open the front door if they hear the doorbell, unless they know who's on the other side. No playing in the kitchen when the oven or stove is on. No playing around the dishwasher when the door's open. No playing in the street in front of the house. The kids sometimes resent these rules. And oftentimes they don't understand why they're in place and they want to break them. You know, sometimes they're just having a great time and they want to bring their toys to other parts of the house, or they want to just go outside and play without asking permission. Or sometimes they just want to run out and play in the street because it's a nice open area to play in. They want to break the rules. But why are those rules in place? Every one of those rules is for the good of the family and for the safety of those children. And they may not understand them. They may not understand the purpose for the rule or the possible consequences for disobedience. But mommy and daddy know best. And it's an act of love on the part of the parents to set those rules to protect their children. And there are real consequences for disobedience. If they violate their bedtime, they're going to get crabby. If they walk around the house with food, they're going to ruin some carpets in other parts of the house. Some of them have greater consequences. If they touch a hot stove, they're going to get hurt. If they run out in the street to play, the consequences could be serious. And so it's an act of love on the part of the parents to establish those rules. I often hear people criticize the Catholic Church for moral teachings. You hear just people I talk to in day-to-day life, people on the internet will rail against the Catholic Church, people on television will mock the Catholic Church's teachings. But I think we have to look at these in the proper light. The Church is our mother. When we're baptized, we receive a new birth through water and the Holy Spirit. And the Church becomes our mother. And because the Church loves us, and because God our Father in heaven loves us, we have a loving mother and a father, they give us moral teachings to live by for our own good. And we may not always understand the purposes behind those rules. If we study them, we can find that out. But those rules are an act of love, and we should view them that way. We shouldn't be resentful about those teachings. But realize that's the Church's job as our mother. And God the Father is doing us a service when we receive these rules. You know, what kind of a parent would say, hey kids, go play in the street? They wouldn't want that to harm. They wouldn't want something that would harm their children. And the Church is the same way. So when we look at our readings today, the first reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Moses said to the people, "Now Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." The promised land. So God, right before the people enter the promised land, gives them a set of teachings to live by so that their lives may flourish, that they might have true and real life. And in the second reading, we hear from James, this is James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift is from above. The moral teachings that we receive are a good and a perfect gift from our loving Father and our loving Mother, the Church. So we shouldn't feel that these teachings are oppressive because they're for our good. And we'll get into more detail in the coming weeks in terms of looking at some of these teachings. But it's important for us to realize that they are an act of love. And they contribute to our happiness. And so that we should be thankful for the church's teachings. Because imagine where we would be without these teachings. You know, I think in my own life, you know, how many times I mess up when I have these teachings. Now think of how bad it would be if we didn't have any moral guidance. I was recently reading an opinion article from the Columbus Dispatch, and this is, you know, just an example of someone criticizing moral teachings. The school system wanted to prohibit yoga pants for the young ladies, you know, saying that they were immodest and that they were a distraction to the environment of learning. And this woman in the opinion article was just railing against the school system, saying, who are you to tell us what to do? If I want my young daughter to dress that way, then she should be able to dress that way. And if someone looks at her with lust, well, that's their problem. If we violate the moral teachings, though, there are consequences. There are things that can harm us. And this person wanted absolute freedom to do things that are harmful to her daughter and to others. You know, that's just not the proper attitude to have when it comes to morality. Morality is there to protect us and to teach us what is authentically good and true and what the proper way to live is that will bring happiness and fulfillment. So our homework for this week, you know, I've been a teacher for 6 years, so I like to give homework from time to time. What I want each one of us to do is to evaluate our attitude towards the church's moral teachings. Are we resentful of those? Or do we embrace those, recognizing that it's an act of love and a good thing? And we'll get into the specific moral teachings later. But if we don't see the church's moral teachings as something positive, why is that? Well, maybe we've just never looked at it that way. Maybe we've never realized that, yeah, we should have some moral guidance for our protection. Well, now's the time to start viewing them that way. Sometimes people just resent authority because our own will wants absolute freedom, like that woman in the article who said, who are you to tell my daughter what to wear or what not to wear? Sometimes we just want that absolute freedom. But the question is, where should we place our trust? Should we place our trust in ourselves? Or is it not better to place our trust in God? Is He not worthy of our trust? Will we not be led well if we put our trust in God the Father and Holy Mother the Church? Some people are resentful for moral teachings because perhaps they dissent on a specific teaching or a couple teachings that they don't agree with. And my advice to you is don't leave it that way. Don't just sit in the pews and dissent from God's teachings week after week after week, because that'll interfere with your spiritual growth. A lot of times it's helpful if we study the reasoning behind the church's moral teachings, and when we see the why behind the law, then we could say, oh, well, I guess that kind of does make sense. Now I see where the church is coming from. So I challenge you, if there are teachings that you dissent from, don't just sit there and dissent. Talk to someone who knows a lot about the church and can explain things well. Come and ask me. You know, my door's open. Shoot me an email or come in. I'd be happy to talk to you. But the goal is that we can see the purpose behind the teachings. So the lesson for today is that moral guidance is an act of love. And we should see it that way, and we should embrace it. And when we do, we'll be stronger Christians because of it, stronger members of the church.